We're going to be reading the first six verses together. Revelation is one of those wonderful books that a lot of people like to avoid for whatever reason. But I will tell you, if you read the book of Revelation with an open mind and an open heart, you realize that this is an incredible book about worship. So, with that in mind, let's read the scripture together. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is God's word to us this morning.
Good morning once again. Welcome to the house of the Lord. My name is Pastor Elisha Cho, and I serve as lead pastor at the Danvers Church of the Nazarene, which is your sister church. Today is Solidarity Sunday, and for those who are new to our gathering today, I am not Pastor Gene Hebert. He'll be here next Sunday. Today we have switched pulpits, and we're able to minister to one another. So your team has come to our church, and our team has come to yours. But at the end of the day, we are one church. Amen. Jesus is building his kingdom. He is building his church. And I'm so glad to be able to share in the word of God today with you. But first, let me pray for us. Father God, we come before you in the mighty and the strong name of Jesus. We thank you for the death you died on the cross, for my sin and for ours, a death that I deserved. Yet the spotless Lamb of God took away my sin, granted me forgiveness through his blood, gave me a new identity for freedom and access and hope of eternity with you. We thank you that Jesus, you did not stay in that grave. We celebrate your resurrection this morning. We thank you the tomb is still empty. We thank you that Jesus has ascended on high and sent us the Holy Spirit, who dwells in each one of our hearts today for those who believe, who testifies to Jesus and glorifies the Father. Amen. We thank you, Jesus, that you're praying for us right now, interceding for us. And we thank you, Jesus, that there is one prophecy left, that you will come again. And we await your second coming. We thank you today for the privilege of being able to worship you together. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us and grant us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. We pray, Lord, that you would soften our hearts today. And for those who have brought in burdens, hurts, that they would lay it down before the foot of Jesus and receive healing grace. For those who have come with burdens of relational difficulties, financial strains, that you would open wide the gates of heaven and grant wisdom in those relationships and grant order in the financial difficulties as well. I pray that your truth break through into our hearts today, and indeed for your truth to set us free. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
For those who don't know me, I am a husband of one wife, my wife Sarah. We've been married for about 9 years now, come this July, and I've been privileged with a better half, and she has given me 2 children by the Lord's grace, and my son Leo is almost 6 years old, and my daughter Hesed Joy will be turning 1 tomorrow. And so I'm privileged to be able to disciple the children that God has gifted to us. They've been on loan to us, and we want to disciple them and raise them up. But I also have the privilege of being able to lead a congregation in Danvers. And as you may see, I'm not a native New Englander. I grew up in South Korea for 7 years. And then for 7 years of the other life, from 7 till about 14, I grew up in the UK, and that's where I acquired the language of English. But my English is not British English or American English. It's kind of my own hybrid version. So I hope it's being communicated to you today. But I believe that the Lord has a message for us today, and I want our hearts to be open and ready. Are you ready for God to speak to you? Are we in awe of God's word today? Are we grateful that we have the holy word of God so available to us? In my neighboring country of North Korea, Christianity is illegal. What many Christians would do is they would meet in caves. Maybe they would have a candle or so. And one person will bring a note with a small portion of scripture. And each person would read the note, and then they would memorize it. And then they would pass it along. And the last person to receive that note of scripture, because if that gets out, they'll be caught, right? They read it, they memorize it, and then they eat up that small piece of paper. For us, in the United States, we have not only a Bible, but many of us have different versions of the Bible at home, and many of us have apparatus, smartphones and dumb phones and things like that, that give us versions of the Bible, and yet we leave the Word of God unopened. And I want us to open our hearts to the Word of God, not only to read the Word of God and receive it, but let the Word of God read you. It's a spiritual x-ray of who we are. It's like a spiritual MRI of where we are in our journey. So let's really open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us this morning. The book of Revelation is a love letter. It's a letter of encouragement to the churches. 7 churches of Asia Minor, and today we'll be focusing on a special church in Sardis. Right now, Sardis is in the region of Turkey, and Sardis, at its time, had the city built upon a higher platform, elevated about, I guess, 1,500 meters up, and it was well enforced. So it was well protected because of the landscape. At one point in time, the Persians tried to infiltrate and make siege of their city. But they could not find a way in because it was elevated and they had watchtowers and whatnot. But one day a soldier was looking very intently at one of the guards on the watchtower. And one of the guards, I don't know why, but this happened, that his helmet fell off his head and rolled down off of the wall and down into the ravines. So this soldier was looking intently to see what would happen next. After, I guess, a couple of minutes, he saw the guard who had fumbled his helmet come down a small staircase and then find a small pathway down to pick up his helmet and then bring it back, and then he would go up to the watchtower. And from that moment on, the Persian army found a way in. So in 547 BC, I believe, Sardis was captured by the Persians. Now, this church in Sardis, they knew of this history full well. But there is a spiritual meaning to the fumbling of the helmet. See, we have an enemy of our souls. In 1 Peter 5:8, we find that Peter says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." In John 10:10, we find Jesus saying this, "The thief, the enemy, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." In 1 John 3:8, we find, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." Can I get an amen in this house? We're reading God's word. It's not my words. Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. But let me give you some insight on how the devil gets his way into our hearts and our minds. See, God has given us the helmet of salvation. Can everyone wear their helmets today? If you have said yes to Jesus, can you wear your helmets today like this? Like I'm motioning right now, literally. Everyone, please. If you have not received Jesus, I'll talk to you later. I'll give you time to come up. Okay, good. God has given us a helmet of salvation. But there are times we fumble. You can put your helmets down, for it's on your head. Sometimes we fumble our helmets and we give room for the enemy that's looking on. And the enemy finds a way in and brings doubt. And brings discouragement. And brings all sorts of things that don't belong in the heart of a Jesus follower. For me, I can relate to that. I love Jesus. He loves me. But in my daily life of changing my baby's diaper, in doing the dishes, in making food and cleaning the house, by the way, all of you house workers, I give you praise and honor because that work never ends, amen? But only by God's grace, we continue. Now, in my day, the enemy continues to sow seeds on my mind. And if I'm not too careful, if I fumble my helmet, I will give in to the lies of the enemy. Like this, "Pastor, you're a pastor, right?" I say, "Yes, I am." "Well, you need a big church, don't you?" And I say, "Get behind me now in the name of Jesus." Because the world wants quantity. God values quality. And that's why I come to today's title, A Righteous Remnant. The church in Sardis were a righteous remnant, a holy remnant, as it were. A people who had not soiled their clothes. A few of them, Jesus commends that you have not soiled your clothes. And I believe Living Hope Church is a righteous remnant. Amen? I was preaching this sermon about 2-3 weeks ago. And as I was preaching that Sunday, I was instructed by the Holy Spirit, give this message to Living Hope. And that's why I brought it. You are a holy, righteous remnant. Many of you may feel, "Well, I don't know, Pastor." No, keep your helmet on. Amen. The helmet of salvation. Let's not fumble the helmet, because our minds cannot be infiltrated by the enemy. We cannot allow that to happen. Martin Luther would say this, "You can let a bird fly over your head, but you cannot let it nest on your head." Amen? Because if you continue to meditate on what's evil and what's not true and what's unholy and dirty, then it will continue to permeate your heart. And what's in your heart will come out and you'll think about it, and then it'll lead into action. So we cannot allow the enemy to do that. So put on your helmet of salvation. Amen? Amen. Let's continue to be a righteous remnant. And I see some observations that I found in the text today of how a righteous remnant live out their faith journey. So let's look at verse 4. Verse 4, we read this. Jesus says, "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes." The first point I want to make is this: a righteous remnant have not soiled their clothes. What does that mean? I remember the day when Sarah, my bride, walked in with a shiny, glimmering white dress, and I was just amazed. But what if that dress had a little bit of a stain on it? Would that be okay? I mean, put yourself in her shoes. Brides, you remember that day? Let's say you had a little bit of, you know, I guess, chili. Just a little bit of chili here. What would you do? You probably would be in panic. That's what you would do. But at the same time, you'd want that to be rinsed out as quickly as possible. For some who are really good at preparing, you probably had a plan B dress. So you would change up into that dress. See, we are God's bride as the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our bridegroom king. And he expects his bride, his church, Living Hope, and myself and all of us to not soil our clothes. But here's the thing. We live in a world that's filled with dirtiness, sin, darkness. Amen? Right. We have an atmospheric sin that we are exposed to. I find it so interesting. Right now, the world is plagued with coronavirus and the fears of it. And my country, many people are suffering too. And I'm praying for them. Are you scared of the coronavirus too? Are you worried? How many of you are really worried right now? Let me assure you, Jesus is stronger than the coronavirus.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, the coronavirus, why do we fear it? Many people fear it because they think they're going to die, right? If I catch it, I might die. I don't want to die. I want to see my kids grow up. I want to see them go to college. I want to see them get married. I want to have grandkids and great-grandkids, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, fine. May God bless you with that. But there is a much more deadlier virus in this world, which is called the sin virus.
Right.
And many of us, we're like, oh, sin, whatever. And we get scared of the things that will kill the body. But let's be scared of what sin brings, that sin, when birth, will bring death. But let me assure you this, the one who is writing this letter has overcome the sin and death and hell once and for all on the cross. Jesus is stronger. Jesus is alive. Jesus is our living hope. And Jesus says, there are a few in your church that have not soiled their clothes. I wonder how we could apply this word to our daily lives. What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of radio station do you put on when you drive to work? What kind of movies or Netflix or Amazon Prime things do you watch? What do you input? And are they all righteous, holy, pure? Would you watch that with your pastor? Pastor, that's a real good show. It's only rated R, but it's not too bad. Look, watch it with me, pastor. Or even, would you watch it with Jesus? Hey, Jesus, come on. There's a little bit of nudity, but it's not that bad. See, whatever you put into your minds and you accept it, it's going to bear fruit.
Yes.
Oh, pastor, are you being so legalistic? What are you? Are you from the 20th century, pastor? No, I'm not from the 20th century. I'm from the 21st century. I'm talking from the Bible. The Bible is clear. That what you sow, you will reap.
That's right.
Am I talking to myself today? Are you guys, am I talking in Korean that you can't understand me? Like, what you sow in your heart and your mind, what you eat is who you will be.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be listening and guarding ourselves from all of the atmospheric sin that is ready to pounce upon us. So you might want to go through your iTunes library. You might want to go through your Netflix watch list. Yeah, Pastor, but everyone's watching it. That's why we are a holiness people. We don't do what everyone else does. Amen. We are set apart for God's glory. If we aren't different to the world, they won't want to come to us. They want to see something different. A righteous remnant, they will not soil their clothes. And that's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We can choose some parameters and say, this is going to be my God and boundaries. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit to give us unction and anointing. Not because we don't want to sin, but because we want to love Jesus. Amen. And we know we love Jesus. And we know we are loved by Him. I say this to our congregation often. Don't think about, I'm not going to smoke cigarettes anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to drink alcohol. Don't think about that. Because listen, don't think about a pink elephant. You're thinking about a pink elephant. The more you say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to watch pornography anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be promiscuous. And don't focus on the sin. Focus on the Savior.
Amen.
Jesus is stronger than your lust. Jesus is stronger than your pull towards alcohol. Jesus can fulfill all your needs. And today I'm here to tell you, Jesus is available to us today. And He's speaking to His righteous remnant. A second thing I notice also in verse 4 is this, that a righteous remnant will walk with Jesus. Will walk with Jesus. If you know this hymn, you can sing it with me if you like. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. In John 15, we find Jesus saying this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it'll be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We must walk with Jesus. We must abide in Him. We must let Him abide in us. What does it mean to walk with Jesus? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, for one, I know we'll bear the fruit of the Spirit, right? I think about the fruit of the Spirit and love being kind of the outer shell. And inside, like pomegranates, it has joy and peace and all of those good things inside. The fruit of the Spirit is what, Alan? Out loud.
Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Gentleness and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you bearing His fruit? Are you able to love your enemy? The enemy that cut in front of you as you were coming to church? The enemy, like maybe your boss, who always applauds the one who always slacks off, and you're the one working your butt off. You know what I mean? Are you able to love your neighbors who are so rowdy, and you tell them to be quiet, but they're still rowdy? Are you able to love them as God loves them? Are you able to see them as God loves them? For me, I reflect on my own journey with Jesus by my character. How am I relating to my brother? How am I relating to my spouse? How am I relating to my six-year-old who will just not listen? Lord, give me patience. Grant me patience this day, O Lord. Because sometimes I see myself my old self trying to resurrect himself. And I'm like, you're dead. You're dead, old Elisha. And I have a new purpose and a new identity. So I live in the mandate and the principle of the new creation. And I see myself bearing fruit every day. Why? Holy Spirit dwells within me. Are you walking with Jesus today? Are you walking in joy? Are you filled with His joy? You can't wait to share Jesus with someone, because every time you see someone, you're like, oh man, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I was going on a walk, and I go on prayer walks all the time, and but during the winter time, I've not been able to get out as much, but recently it's been warmer, so I met two people, and I, as soon as I see them, hi, do you know Jesus? This is their response. Kind of walking back. Do you know that Jesus loves you? He has a perfect plan for your life. Do you know that if you believe in Jesus, that you don't have to worry about perishing, but He'll offer you eternal life? And then one person out of the two says, amen. And I'm like, brother, you know Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. Now, if you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Orange juice. If you squeeze an apple, what comes out? Apple juice. If you squeeze a Christian, what comes out? Jesus. Jesus just flows out of the overflow of God's love for me. Not because I want another notch. I want another checklist. I want another things that say, oh, I brought somebody. No. It's not about me. See, the virus of sin, in other words, is the me virus. It's all about me. Look at me. Look how well I sing. Look how well I do this and how I do. It's not about you. I'm sorry, my fellow Americans. You love yourselves, I know, but maybe a bit too much. I mean, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And when we live aligned to who we are in our new identity with Jesus, love will flow out, joy will flow out, peace will flow out. And your neighbors, when you're going through trials and tribulations, they will look at you and say, how could you be so peaceful amidst such trials? And you can say, Jesus is my anchor. Amen. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He knows the outcome, and He's going to take care of me in the middle. I trust Him. Yeah, but your child is so weird. No. God's testimony for my daughter and my son is not finished yet. And that's why I carry the hope. See, one wing of a dove would be the fruit of the Spirit. But let me introduce you to the other wing. Because with one wing, a dove can only fly like this. And it's always, you know, it's not very good. And by the way, one wing dove doesn't really look good either, right? Jesus, creator of all things, knew that we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts are to edify the church. Again, it's not for you. Oh, look at me. I have the gift of healing. I can heal people. It's not for you. That's totally wrong. It's for others. You receive the gift from heaven so that you can give it out to other people. Brother, you sick today? Healing grace upon you in Jesus' name. Even if it's just in passing, you continue to impart God's grace upon people. Healing grace upon my brother in Jesus' name. Every time I see this brother, I pray for healing. God's healing him. God's healing you. If you see a person in bondage to sin and to Satan, we are the ones who carry the good news for them and come to them and say, be free in the name of Jesus. And you might think, oh, pastor, this is New England where it's really, really cold spiritually, and people don't want to talk about those things. And all of those deliverances and healings and miracles and signs and wonders, that all belongs in Africa and Asia and maybe in the remote parts of the Amazon, but not here. Then I would pose this question. Is God different in Asia, in Africa, and in the Amazon? Is he a different God in America? And your answer would be, no. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve the same God who lives today. And so, a righteous remnant, what we need to do is continue to walk with Jesus. Continue to walk with Jesus. And some of you are thinking right now, pastor, it's difficult to walk with Jesus. He's so holy. and I see my sinfulness. Exactly. That's what we need. We need exposure to God's holiness. I love it when Jesus approaches lepers and people that are broken. Because what if it was for us? Oh, we have a bunch of coronavirus infected people and we want you to go and pray for them. What would you do? Oh, sorry, I can't go. What Jesus would do is run towards them, and Jesus' holiness would be emitted to them, not the coronavirus or the leprosy emitted to Jesus. Why? Jesus is stronger. Jesus is stronger. Am I waking you guys up this morning? Jesus is stronger. So Jesus would come and touch the leper, and the leprosy would flee in the name of Jesus. Fevers go in the name of Jesus. People who can't sleep well at night, oh Lord, perhaps it's because I want to be the center of the universe and control everything, that I have all of these scenarios from A to Z, and then from 1 to 2 billion. Right? That's why you can't go to sleep. You won't let God be God. And that's why we need Jesus to eradicate the me virus from us. You are not in charge. God is. And in every situation, God is still on the throne. He's not surprised by what you're going through. So let us walk with Jesus as a righteous remnant. In verse 5, we see a righteous remnant will be never blotted out from the book of life. This means God will remember you for eternity. Isn't that a great reward? I mean, for me, back a couple of years ago, I used to like playing golf. Any golfers in the house? So this illustration is not really going to help. Oh, thank you. At least one brother is going to be helped today. So, I mean, if I like to play golf and whatnot, and, you know, if Tiger Woods wrote me a letter and said, listen, Pastor Elisha, A, B, and C, your swing's good, but your rhythm's a bit off, so A, B, and C, you're doing well, but D, E, and F, you're not doing too well, so can you work on these? Would I be grateful, or would I be like, return to sender? How dare you, Tiger Woods? How dare you? I mean, what do you know about golf? Or I could take a stance of, Tiger Woods? He wrote to me? Wow, okay. I think I'm going to frame this. I'm doing A, B, and C. That's great. I'm encouraged. D, E, and F, I need to work on. So I'm going to write back to Tiger and say, Tiger, thank you. We're like first name basis friends, by the way. You know, hypothetically. Tiger, I'm doing well on A, B, and C. Thank you for that. Thank you for your words of correction and rebuke. And I accept it. So I'm going to be working on my D and E and F. And you know what? Maybe if you have time next year, we can go on a round of golf together. You know, and just end it nicely like that. Who would have a better game at the end of the day? The one who is so offended and say, how dare you? Or the one who is humble enough to receive correction and rebuke from a guru of golf? Let's put that in perspective. When God, the creator of the universe, who has knit you in your mother's womb even before time began, who knew you, who knows you, who counts every hair on your head, and some of us, like Sean, Jesus loves Sean so much that he doesn't have much hair on his head right now because Jesus has been rubbing his head like this. I love you, son, right? But he counts every hair on our head so personally that God would write a letter to you and speak into you even right now. Would you accept it as his love letter? Or would you be offended and say, return to sender? Because your actions speak louder than words. When you don't open your Bibles, what you're actually saying is this, return to sender. I don't need your word, God. I don't need your correction and rebuke. I don't need it. I'm getting an amen from Joshua. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. Or are we going to accept him? Because for those who accept him and continue to walk with him, their names will never be blotted out. And then, I love this part, a righteous remnant will be recognized by name. Everyone say, by name.
By name.
Before God and the angels. Jesus is going to recognize you by name as you continue to be a righteous remnant, a holy remnant and followers of Jesus that are devoted and committed to doing his will. Oh, but I have to come back to the me virus again. But what about me, Pastor Elisha? I mean, you keep talking about walking with Jesus and not soiling your clothes and doing this and that, but where does that leave me? Well, it leaves you in a state of perpetual joy, amen, hope, loving kindness, grace, mercy, forgiveness. All of these good things are available for us. But God will not impose his gifts to you until you actively say, yes, Lord, and I accept and I receive it. And then Jesus will recognize your name before God and the angels. That's a good reward. That is a good reward for the remnant. I don't know about you, but for me, I observe culture, and culture is getting darker and darker. And not to prophesy, but I believe it's going to get darker and darker based on the word of God, because the end is near. The end is near. Jesus is coming soon. So don't get scared of the world. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. What we need to do is continue to look at ourselves and see if we are a righteous remnant that have not soiled their clothes, that are walking with Jesus, who have hope that our names will never be blotted out of the book of life and will be recognized by name before God. I love the fact that we are a holiness church. Amen?
Amen.
We're a church of the Nazarene, and we define ourselves as a Christian church, a holiness church, and a missional church. See, I am the fruit of the missional church of Jesus Christ. Your ancestors, and if you grew up in New England, and you have, you know, great aunties and great aunts and great uncles, many of them came to my country to share the gospel, to say, Jesus is stronger. Jesus is Lord. He is King. You are not. And they preached, and many of them died for the sake of the gospel, you know. So my land has the blood of the martyrs. And after 3-4 generations, God has called me to be a missionary to New England. What kind of grace is that? That's God's grace, isn't it? And I'm telling you guys, remember, that's your spiritual heritage and inheritance. And many of you are like, oh, it's so cold and spiritually dark in New England, and we are the chosen frozen, and all of these phrases that I've never heard before, never heard before in the church, right? Where is the life that Jesus gives us? Where is the joy and the hope of eternity? See, reality is eternity. So if your reality lens is just about what's going to happen to me in 2 years, what's going to happen to me in 5 years, that's too limited. Reality must be focused on eternity, because God is eternal and he dwells within us. We need to remember this, friends. God dwells within us. So would you take God to an R-rated movie and say, hey, God, let's just watch this together and just be jolly. I mean, it's a Friday night, God. Give me a break. Just one drink here, one drink there. See, for those who are struggling with alcohol, I feel you. My family has been plagued with alcoholism from my great-grandfather to my grandfather, and the curse was broken from my dad's generation. Amen? Why? Because Jesus met my dad radically. Jesus gave my dad the eyes to see what was breaking this family was this alcoholism that led to debauchery, that led to sinful acts, that led to sexual. It leads to so many other things. And my dad said, for me and my house, I shall serve the Lord. And when I became of age, he sat me down. He told me the story of my great-grandfather losing all of his inheritance because of the drinking and gambling and all sorts of sexual immorality. And he just told me the story. So by the end, he didn't say, so son, what are you going to do about alcohol? I just said, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I'm not going to drink alcohol one drop for the rest of my life. Because this is what I believe. Every drop you drink of alcohol, that's how much drunk you are. Oh no, Pastor, I'm not tipsy. I can at least have one glass of, well, that's for you and God to decide, but for me, I know that curse is broken, so why would I want to welcome that curse back? I am blessed. Amen? Then don't think of me as one of those prosperity gospel preachers. I am blessed. It's true. The blessing is within. It's internal. And I can't keep it inside, so I have to share it with you guys. I was talking with my wife, and by the way, pastors don't earn a lot of money. Do you think pastors earn a lot of money? Do you think for those who don't know, we don't, okay? we live by God's grace, and He provides. Amen. Amen, Alan? He provides. And I was talking with my wife, and I said, honey, we are the richest, happiest family in the world. And do you know what my wife said? She said, do you think she said no? She said, yes, we are. And I said, hallelujah, God has given us salvation. God has given us a marriage that is focused on Him. And the more the marriage is focused on God, the more the husband and wife are focused on God. In return, God brings the husband and wife closer and closer together. Amen. God has given us offspring. Although Leo, I'm having a tough time with him, to be honest with you. Pray for me. Patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all of these things. Amen. God has given us Hesed Joy, CJ, my second born. God has given us a church family to serve and to love and to do community with. And we think about all of the things that we're grateful for. There's no room for complaining. And it's all gratitude. I want you to experience Jesus in a fresh way today. I believe God wants you to be a righteous remnant. Maybe there are some hidden sins in your life that you're struggling with. Jesus is stronger than your hidden sin. And by the way, the only cure for the sin virus, the me virus, is Jesus. Jesus, who came to this earth 2,000 some years ago, walked a sinless life, carried the rugged cross, died on behalf of your sins and mine. He bled and shed so that you may have life through Him. You can trust someone who has died for you. You can trust Jesus because He not only died for you, He is our resurrected Savior. I'm just sensing in this room the excitement is silence, right? That's you're really excited inside, but you're not really expressing it. I get it. That's okay. It's all right. Jesus is coming soon. And that's why we must continue to love Jesus, love neighbor through the lens of the cross, and also love ourselves as God loves us in a healthy way. Not be like, oh, look at me. I'm the next best thing that happened to Christianity. That's who I am. Not that kind of pride. Please, please, we don't need that. In humility and surrender to continue to be a righteous remnant. Amen. So I want you to put on your helmets of salvation again, like this. Put it on today, and every time you face a challenge, remember the story of the watchman fumbling his helmet, and that watchman was the one to blame for the capturing of that city of Sardis. But when we fumble our helmets, the enemy will find a way in, and we cannot let him do that. So hold on to your helmet of salvation. One person said this to me this past week. They said, I heard your sermon, Pastor, and I had to readjust my helmet because it was kind of on sideways, and I had to readjust. Amen. Good. Good. Every time doubt comes into your heart, put on your helmet of salvation. Put on the full armor of God. Put on the word of God in your heart and live it out by the power. But Pastor, I failed 20 million times. That's okay. Put it on today. Start again today. Today's a brand new day. Yeah, but no buts. Put on your helmet. Keep it on. Don't lose it. Don't fumble your helmet. Can you tell your neighbor that? Don't fumble your helmet. Don't. Don't fumble. Every time someone says something to you negative, you say, don't fumble your helmet, sister. Sister, let's hold on to the helmet of salvation. Let's hold on to our Savior Jesus, because He is stronger than the coronavirus. He is stronger than the stock market plunging. And somebody's hurting right now, right? Don't fumble your helmet when your kids feel like they have become so distant from Jesus. Jesus' arm is not too short to bring them back. Amen? They are not beyond God's grace. Amen? The friend that you're praying for, every time you get discouraged, oh, why do they keep on going back to that guy again when I told them not to? Put on your helmet of salvation and pray hope into their lives and favor on their lives. For we are a righteous remnant. And God is calling us deeper into His heart. I love how God is building His church. I'm praying for living hope. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would just sweep this place with His glory. Fire of God come down. And I want you to be excited about it. I mean, I can see the excitement. I can, really. But I think you need to work on kind of expressing it. But that's okay. Next time I come back for Solidarity Sunday, you'll be amening and hallelujahing. And you'll be doing that. Amen? Oh, that's good. Improvement already. But I want you to find the secret to the Holy Spirit's anointing. A righteous remnant will always pray. Leonard Ravenhill, one of my mentors, he's gone with the Lord now, but he would say, no man is greater than his prayer life. A pastor that is not praying is playing. And a congregation that is not praying is straying. And I want to invite all of you to pray with us during the month of March. In our location in Danvers, we pray every night, Sundays at 6 p.m., and all the other nights at 7 p.m., we gather for about an hour. We pray when we seek God's face. We're praying for revival. And I'm just sensing in my heart, God's going to call out the remnant. God's going to raise up an army for His glory. Watch out, world, because the world is going crazy. They need Jesus. And now we're not pointing fingers, because we were all once crazy too, by the way, filled with the me virus. But now, God has changed my heart. He has set me free and released me into His destiny. Yes. Church, would you bow your heads with me? Let's spend a moment just to reflect on God's word today. I believe God has spoken, and I want us to recognize that His plan and purposes are true. Maybe some of us are going through a very, very tough time right now. Let me give you a word of encouragement that Jesus is stronger than that. That particular situation, that particular person that's really, really bugging you, that co-worker and colleague that continues to persecute you because you believe in Jesus, I want to pray for you. Father, we come by your grace and everlasting mercy to release your Spirit to help us hear what you are saying to the churches today. Father, I'm praying for an anointing from heaven. I'm not praying for anything human. I'm praying for the divine to crash in, for your wisdom and discernment, for you to illuminate our hearts, for you to kindle the fire once again and ignite in us a passion for your name. So God, as we continue to worship you this day, fill us, speak to us, but also help us to be doers of your word. For those who are contemplating their faith journey, I pray that you would continue to woo them and pursue them with your love. For those who are strong and continuing to be fervent in their journey, Lord, I pray for more fervency. And I pray your blessing over this church, oh God. Thank you for Pastor Gene and the leadership here. And I just pray that you would continue to reveal to them the mysteries of your love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship band to come up, and we're going to sing a song of response, Living Hope, Living Hope.